Father, we bless the word that was released. We receive it in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will empower us to do, and to say what your word says, and to speak over our lives, to declare and to decree. For you, Lord, have said, you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I used to go to school, I don't go to school now anymore. When we, the children, were sleeping, not that you are sleeping, they would say, stand up, and then sit down again to shake off the slumber. Amen? But right now, in that fashion of the word which was declared, I need you to please stand up, if you can. I want us to declare this that the Lord should do. And this forms also part of my preaching. Say, Lord Jesus, let your healing virtue flow through me. Lord Jesus, let the power that is in your blood break every bondage in my life and in my family, in Jesus' name. Say, Lord Jesus, let the healing virtue flow through me. Lord Jesus, let the power that is in your blood break every bondage over my life, over my family. Lord Jesus, let your healing virtue flow through me. Lord Jesus, let the power that is in your blood break every bondage in my life and in my family. Clap hands for Jesus as you sit down. Amen. Okay. We have about enough time. Who of us here, you don't have to show by hand, I will just see it on your face. Who of us here has read the Bible from cover to cover? I want to tell you a little story. You know what's going to happen when we get to heaven if you have not read the Bible from cover to cover? Do you know? No? No, let's talk. Do you know? You don't know. There will be this guy called Zechariah or Zephaniah or some say it's Philemon, some say it's Philemon in the New Testament. He only has one chapter, like Jude. He has only one chapter. When you get to heaven, they'll be so happy to see you. That here's a believer. Hey, I'm Zephaniah. Do you know me? He said, no, I don't know you. Did you not read my book? What did I say? And then you'll be there thinking, I should have read that book. Because now I don't know this guy. Who's this guy? So, with that icebreaker, I want to say, read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Those are also pioneers in the Bible. that are giving us solutions to deal with today's problems. The Bible is relevant. It's very relevant. It doesn't have a Wi-Fi connection, but it is the best connection to God. It doesn't depend on load shedding, or in the case of Polokwane, water shedding. It doesn't depend on maintenance. It's just there. It's a powerful book with 66 books inside. Yes, arguably, theology, there's other books I'm concentrating. Mine has 66 books. I don't know about others. Amen? So, we're going to read from Genesis 12. I'm just going to highlight a few things. It's my launching scripture. Verse 11. So as he, that's Abram, was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you." Genesis 26, verse 6. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she is beautiful. Genesis 29:17. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Amen. Thank you. The scriptures we read, as I said, it is my launching pad. I want to talk a little bit about patterns, fatherly patterns. These three men, they had the same liking or the same eye. What we can see from what we read is that all their women were beautiful. They were lovely to look at. And in all cases, they had to lie to protect the beauty of the woman. What I'm trying to highlight is not to say that a father or our fathers have chosen beautiful wives, which are our mothers, and then we chose ugly wives. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is a pattern and a stint of a DNA through your blood that flows from a generation in ancient time that you do not even know exist in your blood right now. Okay. The blood that you have in your body right now is older than you. You say, how? How do you do a DNA test? You take your blood and you take the parent's blood. Meaning your blood comes from the parent before you were formed. Before you and I were formed, we inherited the Y's and the Z, or is it the zeros and the ones in terms of IT, from our CPU parent. Amen? At least somebody's getting it. So, there is a particular way that you will behave, you and I will behave, even though whether we have met our parent or not. Some call it generational curses. Some call it generational blessings. We don't have generational curses, we have generational blessings. Because through Abraham, we men were able to choose beautiful wives. And the curse has been taken away from us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So there are patterns and behavioral way that you and I will act. And somebody from the family member, when they see you,
they will connect you with someone, whether the person is still alive or the person has passed away. There will be this string of connection. Many generations in between may not act the same way as that old man or old woman. But there will come a time when a certain period of time has passed that one person in that generation will start acting exactly the same way that the forefathers have acted. Where am I going with this? I am trying to say to us that there are certain patterns we need to get rid of as Christians. I'm trying to say there are good patterns and there are bad patterns that we partake in. I'm trying to say that there are behavioral ways that we do things and we do not want to let them go because I am doing them for my name's sake. I'm also trying to say that if your DNA has been so blessed, you should put a demand on that DNA to say, I know in my ancient time it was said that my parents were this prosperous. Each time we read about history, you'll see where they will say these comrades, they were hiding in this house. When we read about the Bible, we'll see that these spies were staying in Rahab's house. And because of that which Rahab has done, then every generation that came from the lineage of Rahab was blessed. It was owed a certain commemoration over their life. Same as Mordecai. He saved the king. And through remembrance of what he had done, though even that king was not there, but he read somewhere. It was written. And so is you and me. There is a book in the spirit. In the book of Kings, they call it the annals or the books of the king's life. It was written. And this is the occasion of that king. What am I also saying? You should not allow a sickness to come upon your body when Jesus Christ has already taken it over your life. He took it. He took it from your generation. He said, if you love me, I will bless you to 1,000 generations. But if you hate me, I will curse to the 3rd and the 4th generation. So you need to find out in that pattern, which generation are you? And what did your parents in ancient time do to affect what is happening to you now? I have a love for cars and fast cars. And my father had love for cars and foreign cars, left-hand steering cars, cars that you see on TV. I never met him personally until I was 32 years old. But I'm being told the manner in which I behave is like him. So some of us have taken illnesses, we have owned illnesses. You know that sound that people make when they say they have sinuses? You know it, ne? I'm not going to do it, but you know it. I have a doctor in the midst, you know it, ne? They have this sound, they make it with their throat. And then you ask them, well, what is that sound? They say, no, my parent has this illness, so I also have it. So they tend to adopt that, even though it's not their illness. Amen? Is somebody following me? Because I'm going to open this subject. I don't need to finish it today because it's so huge. But that was my take off scripture so that I show us what happens or what happened before we met Christ. But our also challenge, our next challenge is because we do not know that we can receive freedom from Christ. We tend to, I heard Dr. Harris preaching say, you have the ability and the power to be healed. I feel as the word was being shared that there is a stirring in the realm of the atmosphere. As much as there was a stirring at the pool of Bethesda, there is a stirring. But we are not jumping into the stirring. It's, we are like those people that see that there's a thunderstorm, there's lightning showing, and it's starting to smell like rain, and we just walking, say, oh no, it's going to rain, and we're walking very slow, not even closing the windows or putting the car in the garages. That's why the insurance company has to send you an SMS and say, please put your car inside the garage. We know you are not going to do it. You can see. The older people will see the way the cloud will move, even before the cloud can be pregnant with water. They will see, if it's coming from the west, they say, no, there's a big rain coming. Is that not so? Help me, elder people, beautiful elder people, help me. It's rough, ne? But our issue is that we don't have an antenna that tells us that there's something that is happening in the Spirit. And we are born of the Spirit. We are born in three ways: flesh, spirit, and soul. The body is world conscious. So everything that is happening around you, your body is conscious of it around the world. Who is the president? Where are they voting? What's happening? There's a strike. Water shortages. Are my children at home? You know these things. Is my hair looking well? Does it show that today I'm not wearing my glasses? Is there anything different that you see with me? I forgot my jewelry. We are world and appearance conscious. Did I tuck in? Am I not tucked in? Are my shoelaces correct? Flesh is world conscious. He is very conscious of how they look. Then you have the spirit. Into your hands, O Lord, I commit my spirit. When you get born again, it is the spirit of the Lord that cleaves to your spirit. The book of Ecclesiastes says that when we die, the flesh returns to the soil where it came from, and the spirit returns to its owner, who is the Lord. So the spirit, we are God conscious. When God wants to know something in your life, He visits your spirit, and the spirit that the Bible says searches all things will tell the Lord what is happening in this body. The reason the Lord could not, in quotation marks, find Adam, it is because his spirit had shifted, was separated from the Lord because of sin. So that separation caused death. And God, when he got there, he could not feel the atmosphere and the welcoming, the warmth of Adam. And that's when he asked, where are you? Soul is emotional conscious. How did that make me feel? When we want to test, you come to a matured Christian, you ask them about the dream. One of the basic 101 questions to ask is, how did the dream make you feel? I'm not teaching about dreams, but how did the dream make you feel? From the point of how the dream made you feel, tells me or gives me a bit of direction into the interpretation before I ask the Lord. So if you were scared in the dream, it means it's not a good dream. If you are saying no in the dream, you do not want to do or were not agreeing with what was happening, even though you did not say no, but your feelings, your emotions are saying, I don't want this, it means you are rejecting the dream, and the dream is not a godly dream. If you are dreaming that you were falling to an endless hole, you wake up frantic, you are sweating. I say, how did that make you feel? Because you could be skydiving, who knows? And you say, I was scared. I had to wake up before I hit the floor, which I don't know where that is. Patterns, and then there is me and you. Who has these three things? I'm going to read my last scripture. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. One says, Obfakansi mode. So, this 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The Lord is concerned about your soul. The eyes are a window to the soul of a man. Remember that advert of Chicken Licken? Soul, sister, soul, sister, sister, soul. Ne? And you thought, let me drive to Chicken Licken now. Because I want my soul to be fed. Even there on the menu, even now, there is soul something. I saw it, I just don't remember what it is because I always buy hot wings. There is also a soul fire. You eat something, but it goes to your soul. How does that happen? You listen to a song when you had it in your matric dance in 1905. You listen to it in 2025, and you still cry. What did you hear? What happened? What is the mechanical way or thing or what's happening there? It's not an. It is related, but it's not an issue of conscious or subconscious. What's the other one? Unconscious. It's not an issue of unconsciousness or subconscious or the conscious mind. It's embedded in your soul. I could believe that Isaac, when he, even though the wife was not chosen by him, because the Bible tells us that the servant of Abraham went, and when he saw Rebecca, he said, surely this is the one. Why do you think he was able to say that? Let me help us quickly. The servant of Abraham had a soul tie with Abraham. So he knew what Abraham liked. He knew what he disliked. He has been close to the wife of Abraham and Abraham. So whatever that he sees, even when he aspires to be something greater, all he sees is, I want to be like Abraham. This is why when he chose the wife, he chose the one that he knew that Abraham would approve of. Before he could even consult of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he consulted after, he said, if she gives drink to my camel and livestock, then I know that she cares and she can be a mother and she can be good for my master's son. But the first instance is that he used his soul to choose the wife. So embedded in us, we are intertwined. And that's what also the Bible says, that we are one with Christ. Colossians says our spirit and our soul is intertwined with the Lord. Meaning there is no separation. But God is saying, yes, though you love that parent, though you love the church, though you love the people, though you love your colleagues, though you love your learners, your friends at school, though you love them from a point of the Lord. Father, help me. I want to land this plane. We will have part 2, maybe part 3 or part 4, I don't know, as the Lord leads. But what I want to say is that a fragment, in computer language, there's this thing we call defragmentation. So the computer, when you click that defragmentation, you start to see boxes moving outside, and then you start seeing other boxes moving inside, and they create like that, what do you call that game that you put colors, that block, color block, cube, Rubik cube, yes. So you see the computer coming together on the screen doing that cube, Rubik, right? So our souls has been defragmented. We lost a loved one. The soul was attached to the loved one. There's nothing wrong in feeling sorrowful, but you find that your soul is downcast, is ever grieving for that loved one. That person has taken a part of you. Every time a part of you and me is taken, we get weaker and weaker and weaker. This is why David said, refresh my soul, O Lord, and restore my soul. Psalm 7, verse 2 it says that the enemy comes to tear you apart like a lion or a tiger. Can't really remember. Like a lion or a tiger seeking for your soul to be torn apart. If I can break your soul, I've broken you. Nothing is exciting. There's no hope. There is nothing that you want to live for because your soul has been kept captive. So there are some people that you find they are living on earth. In deliverance we say their soul is captured somewhere, but they are here with us. And some people get sick because of their soul, not because they are sick. Because no matter how much medicine, doc, you give them, they still come back. Holy Spirit is ever moving. Have you ever seen the water go up the hill and then come back? It creates a fountain on the other side. Right? That's how we ought to be. Don't stop and become dead like the man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years and you cannot move while the great physician Jesus Christ is here to heal, deliver, and restore us. Last point. What is a soul tie? A soul tie is being attached to another person emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and intimately. That closeness, that togetherness, that intertwine, that when they feel pain, you feel pain. I'll unpack it the next time I preach. But that is soul tie. So with that scripture, many scriptures, even in the New Testament, I think it's Matthew 22, he says, Jesus repeats the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. We are able to love again when we are hurt through the love of God. And hurt, I don't mean romantically. You can be hurt by losing. You can be hurt by trying to do a business and it fails, but you still love what you do. I want us to pray. We can stand and do a declaration. I have 3 prayer points, and then we can be free in Jesus' name. I don't know, you can raise your hands, do whatever. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, and repeat after me. I lose myself. No, with a bit of power. Remember, Satan will not let you lose yourself. He will not do that. He won't just sit around and say, no, he's going. Get out of jail, free card. I lose myself from all evildoers and evil soul ties. I break and renounce all ungodly soul ties that I have attached to. Number 3. I break all ungodly soul ties and pray for healthy, godly soul ties that will bring a blessing to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to thank you for this word that you have released, Lord. We honor you, Father. We thank you that it is our portion to be free. For you said in John 8:32 that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, we pray this day that we mark this day into our calendar. That this is the day I became free. The Amplified says, whoever the Son sets free is unquestionably free. So no one can question my freedom from any bondage. No one can question my freedom that I have received from Christ. I am free because He has saved me. So Lord, as you said in Psalm 23, refresh and restore our soul. Wherever our soul has been shed ungodly in every place, Lord, I pray that you restore each and every one of our souls back to you. We make a declaration now, and we cancel every vow and every idle word we have said carelessly over other people joining us to them when you did not want us to join with. We use the blood of Jesus to break free from that prison spiritually in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we also pray for forgiveness, that if there's anyone we have hurt unintentionally or intentionally, and they've caged our soul in their mental prison, we break free like Paul and Silas did. And for our family members right now, as we pray, according to Acts 12, when the church prayed, the angel of the Lord came for Peter and broke the gates. Father, wherever our soul is arrested to disadvantage us, to delay, to distort, we break that prison door in the name of Jesus. We cut the gates into asunder. We break the gates of brass. We bring your anointing to break the yoke. We have been carrying the yoke of patterns of our parents and the DNA. But today we take the DNA of Christ. And we are free. And we are declared free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Amen.